Welcome to the Banner of Truth broadcast. The following program of inspiration is brought to you by the Free Reformed Churches of North America. You can find one or more Free Reformed Churches in this station's listening area. And now, the Banner of Truth with Pastor Hans Overdoon, the minister of the Calgary Free Reformed Church.
Imagine, dear friends, if I was given a balloon and in front of you now would blow air into it, and you saw it expand and grow bigger and bigger. Have you ever thought when someone was blowing air into a balloon, you better stop now or the balloon will pop? Well, with this radio message on the fruit of the Spirit, let us not think about a balloon being expanded with air, but think with me now of a sure divine fruit growing without fear of popping in front of your eyes. The precious fruit I would have us see literally grow before us this broadcast is the fruit of the Spirit, joy. Joy is the second of the nine fruits of the Spirit mentioned in Galatians 5, verse 22 and 23. I am praying as I preach about this particular fruit, joy, that you and I will be so attracted to it. The great aim of all true gospel preaching is that all the hearers repent of sin and believe in Christ as only Savior and Lord, and follow after Him. And in this way, like with the Ethiopian eunuch told about in Acts 8 under Philip's gospel ministry, that you go on your way rejoicing, truly and forevermore. Are you interested in this as well? To that end, then, let us consider the fruit of the Spirit, joy, under the following main points. We will first give some description of this fruit, and then tell about the development of this fruit, and lastly consider something of the delightfulness of this fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is joy. What is this fruit, really? How should we describe it, as God would have us know it and show it? The fruit of the Spirit, joy, let us notice for one thing, it is something different than fun and laughter. People enjoy fun and laughter depending on some exciting activity or some special event or social setting. But remove the setting and the special event and the fun and laughter are gone. Lots of people who pursue having fun times and want times of laughing are often without any joy whatsoever. Joy is much more than fun and laughter. Joy and happiness and gladness are not the same either. People are happy and glad when things are going well. Happiness is linked to prosperous times and everything going smoothly in your life, at work, at school, in your marriage and family, etc. Making lots of money can cause people to feel happy, as well as passing that exam, or getting that job, or getting along with your spouse, or getting a new car, or computer, or whatever. All these things put you in a happy mood. But this happiness by itself is flawed in that it is dependent on good circumstances. As one put it, for many people, quote, happiness is conditioned by and often dependent upon what is happening to them. Having joy, the joy of the Spirit, and being joyful in God's way, however, is something quite different from and much more than all the happiness and gladness or merriment or delight or pleasure that this world can offer anyone, even in the best of circumstances. Maybe I could put it this way. The world at best can offer laughter, merriment, and happiness, which in all cases is so short-lived and superficial, and often also senseless. But the joy of the Holy Spirit is something deep and lasting and rational and invigorating and refreshing. While the joy and happiness of the world, too, is so dependent on favorable circumstances and occasions of fun and success, we can say, the joy of the Spirit, this delightful fruit, is something that can be experienced and enjoyed at all times, regardless of circumstances. Indeed, the highest joy of Christians has often been experienced in their times of greatest distress. We read this also in 1 Peter 1, verse 7, where the apostle speaks of people going through great trials and yet rejoicing with joy unspeakable. Think too of Paul and Silas in prison, falsely charged and badly beaten and placed in prison in a most uncomfortable position with their feet locked in between wooden blocks. But what were Paul and Silas doing at midnight, as told in Acts 16, verse 25? They were praying and singing in praise to the Lord, filled with joy, even while suffering so. The fruit of the Spirit, joy, is a blessing that is deep and extensive, and that is not dependent on circumstances to be joyful. People who have this fruit of the Spirit, joy, their joy comes not from what they have, but from what they are. Not from where they are, but whose they are. Not from what they enjoy, but from that which was suffered and accomplished for them by their Savior and Lord, Jesus Christ, and the salvation they may have in and through Him. The fruit of the Spirit, joy, in other words, is a beautiful, bountiful, gracious fruit that gives hope and contentment and comfort and a peace that passes understanding, even under the most trying of times. Do you see what a precious fruit is this fruit of the Spirit, joy? The Bible tells of having a deep and all-encompassing joy that holds for all time, and that is not artificial but real, and that doesn't diminish over time, but increases even as the years go by. Yes, even in the face of death and the end of life here on earth. Paul testifies in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 10, he was as one sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. In 2 Corinthians 7, verse 4, he says too, I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulations. Wow! Oh, the gospel truth is, this fruit of the Spirit, joy, is an enduring, excellent Christian grace and fruit. It infinitely transcends transient happiness and all the fleeting giddiness and passing pleasures that the world offers us. There's so much counterfeit joy out there. But the fruit of the Spirit, joy, is real and something everlasting and such a blessing in every way. It is important that you and I see the real difference and distinction that there is between true Christian joy, and that we pay attention to this fruit of the Spirit, seeing how it's so different to the works of the flesh, as Paul describes them also in the Galatians 5 passage. Are you interested in this fruit of the Spirit, joy, dear friends? Do you too know of an aching void in your life, which all the happiness and fun and pleasure of this world just cannot remove? And do you too realize this and feel it more and more even as the years go by, the lack of joy in people's lives by nature? Do you agree this fruit of the Spirit, joy, is something most special indeed, and how wonderful to know and show this fruit also in our lives? Isn't this the testimony of every true Christian? And you lament then that too often still this fruit of joy is not there as it ought to be and might be also in our Christian lives. How important it is that we each personally see and grasp the attractiveness of the fruit of the Spirit compared to the abhorrent offensiveness and emptiness of the works of the flesh. For the further encouragement of us all in the way of the fruit of the Spirit, joy, let us move now to our second point and look closer at the source and development of this fruit of the Spirit, joy. For one, notice with me that this fruit of the Spirit, joy, is at bottom knowing and trusting Jesus Christ, having Him in your heart and life as Savior and Lord. Oh yes, this is the Holy Spirit's work time and again to convince and convict of sin, and to draw us to Jesus, the only Savior from sin. The Bible teaches us that with God triune is infinite joy, within Himself and from Himself, and it is in and through Jesus Christ, belonging to Him by grace through faith, that you and I come into a close and salvation relationship with God, and that we may become partakers of His joy. On our own, by nature, we are alienated from God and at enmity with God on account of our sins and sinfulness. But Jesus came to be the Savior of sinners. That's the gospel. And as sin-bearer and Savior, He suffered so much that He is described in Isaiah 53 verse 3 as a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. That Jesus gave His life even to the shame and pain and sorrow and death of the cross to save sinners like us is something endlessly amazing. The gospel message is that Jesus Christ, as given by God the Father and anointed by God the Holy Spirit, through His death and resurrection as Savior of sinners, He is the complete Savior for helpless, hopeless, guilty, undeserving sinners like us, even for all who call to Him for His mercy and grace. Oh, there's full and free salvation from sin found in and with Jesus Christ and His finished work on sinners' behalf when repenting of sin and trusting Him as crucified and risen Savior of sinners. Is that what you do too, dear friends? Think here just of how the gospel message of Jesus coming and His salvation work is described. In Luke 2 verse 10, the angel announced to the shepherds concerning Jesus' birth, come to be Savior of sinners. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. In Romans 10 verse 15 also, where Paul speaks of preaching the gospel, he describes it as being glad tidings of good things. Glad tidings of good things. Listen here also to what Paul says in Romans 15 verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Here we learn again, it is through believing in Jesus Christ that the Holy Spirit would also have us know and realize we may have fullness of joy. Jesus says too, in John 15 verse 11 to His disciples, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. In Psalm 5 verse 11, speaking of those trusting and following God, the Savior God of His people, the psalmist calls out, but that all those that put their trust in Thee rejoice, let them ever shout for joy, because Thou defendest them. Let them also that love Thy name be joyful in Thee. Paul states likewise thus to the Christians in Philippi, in Philippians 4 verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. What the Holy Spirit makes clear in and through His Word especially is that there is no sin problem or sin guilt or sin consequence or sin punishment that Jesus the Savior can't and won't give help and give remedy for. Where sin abounds with us, yet in and through Christ Jesus, grace does much more abound. Triumphantly so, even. And this is God's word in Luke 15 verse 11. The heavens rejoice over one and any sinner that repents. This is God's invitation too, as we can read in Isaiah 12, that with joy we draw water out of the wells of salvation opened in and through Jesus' shed blood on sinners' behalf. Oh, the fruit of the Spirit is joy, because as the Spirit joins us to Christ in the way of faith and repentance, ah, then we find forgiveness of sins and everlasting righteousness and adoption into God's family, and we become heirs of eternal life, all for Jesus' sake alone. Belonging to Christ, we have comfort in every detail and season and experience of life, and we have comfort in death and comfort for eternity. You can't and won't find this joy anywhere comparable to the fruit of the Spirit joy. No. Only in God Triune Himself can the source of this tremendous joy be found, and it is what the Spirit communicates in and through Christ and His gospel word. God's people, knowing this, also have no greater joy than to see others, including their loved ones and friends, walking in the gospel way, living by the Christian gospel, trusting and following after Jesus Christ and His Word. This, as the Spirit makes so clear, is what is all important and what gives true joy. Yes, even in the saddest circumstances. Whereas apart from this faith relationship with God through Jesus Christ, even with all the happiness this world can offer, you miss out on true and everlasting joy. This fruit of the Spirit, joy, being so focused on Christ and His Word, is what makes confessing Christians also long to go to church and love to go to church time and again. Because there we worship God triune and we praise God for the gift of His Son, as made known to us in the Scriptures. Yes, there in any faithful church, under the true preaching of the Word, we come into the workshop of the Holy Spirit, where God is most pleased with word and sacrament to take of the things of Christ and to show them to us initially and repeatedly and more and more. This fruit of the Spirit, joy, comes with being immersed in God's Word and focused on Christ Jesus and being faithful in Christian worship and fellowship within a Christian congregation. If joy is missing for you, might negligence in this regard in any way be a real reason and factor why you have so little joy? What needs to be said here further is that we must realize with this joy being fruit of the Spirit, it is certainly a delicate, tender fruit. It is a sure fruit in the lives of God's people, yes, but you and I must realize when living in any sin or allowing and excusing any and every inconsistency and unfaithfulness in the Christian life, well, that will lessen this fruit of joy and diminish the enjoyment of this fruit, if not extinguish it altogether. How true what one said in this regard, quote, "This joy is part and parcel of harmony with God in my activities. The instant I comply with His wishes, His joy energizes my being. The moment I disagree with His desires and go my own ways, joy fades and faith falters." End of quote. Without this fruit of joy, our religion also so quickly becomes only a dead form without us knowing the power and thrill thereof. Again, which true Christian hasn't painfully experienced this? And maybe even now you are experiencing it, not having much joy. Will you allow this to happen in your life? Will any confessing Christian listening to this message be content with only going through the motions of religion without a heart on fire for God and good, filled with joy? Oh, to be a joyless Christian is living the biggest contradiction there can be. Don't let it be so, and let this series on the fruit of the Spirit guide you and me to pray God the Holy Spirit also for this fruit of true Christian joy. Will you be a person who most foolishly will live and die instead in sin and unbelief, never experiencing the fruit of the Spirit, not this fruit of joy either? What? Will you live in sin and in joylessness, not only in this life, but then forevermore in the eternal world to come? Will you perish in sin, or come to Jesus and live under His blessing and being a blessing too by His grace, living in the joy of the Lord? "In vain," wrote one, "the worldling and unsaved turns desperately and despairingly to drink from any broken cistern or muddied water that he thinks might slake his thirst for joy. But all disappoints him. For only in God Himself, our Creator, Redeemer, and Provider and Keeper, now and forevermore, can the source of joy be found." How true this is, surely. Therefore all Scripture urges us, as expressed in Isaiah 55, verse 6, "Seek ye the Lord, while He may be found. Call ye upon Him, while He is near." Are you listening? There is another point to mention yet that also speaks so well of the source and development of this fruit of the Spirit, joy. And that is this fruit of the Spirit, joy, being in and from Christ, in and through Christ, we are invited time and again to go to Him, asking for His mercy and grace, also in regards to this precious and priceless fruit of joy. It is so important for us to realize this and to grow in grasping this. Namely, and as one put it, we do not need to produce these characteristics of godliness, but rather Christ through His Spirit produces them in us, including this fruit, joy. Remember, it is the fruit of the Spirit, and it is the opposite of the works of the flesh. Isn't this so very encouraging also when you often feel much shortcoming in experiencing and demonstrating the fruit of the Spirit, including this fruit of joy? Let me quote here from Philip Keller on this point, where he writes, "Too often we are looking for joy when we should just be looking away to Jesus Christ. Our joy is in Him and with Him and from Him. Our strength is in His ability to produce this joy, true joy." I ask you, dear friends, don't you too find this so encouraging? When you and I still miss altogether or have lost this fruit of joy or much of it on account of our sinful and foolish ways, we may pray like David did in Psalm 51, verse 8 and 12. "Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out mine iniquities. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." We know too, as God heard David's prayer, He will hear and answer all who so pray. In John 16:24, Jesus says, "Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full." John the Apostle tells us in 1 John 1, verse 4, with all the New Testament writings about Jesus Christ the Savior, "And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." Oh, there is remedy with Jesus from all sin and evil and joylessness, not once only, but every day afresh, as often as you and I come to the Savior. Is this word now registering in your mind and heart? And will you pay attention to this gospel call and respond even today? That all may come and keep coming to the Savior for as long as we live, think yet with me on our third main point about the delightfulness of this fruit of the Spirit, joy. How is this such a delightful, wonderful fruit indeed? Well, consider the blessings of this fruit of joy. Why should Christians be such a joyful people? Isn't there reason to respond? Why, think it through. Think it through how it is good in all ways. This fruit of joy brings God honor as He is due among the sons of men, when we are glad in and through Him. Further, it is good for us when we have this fruit of the Spirit, joy, for it makes us strong and fruitful and cheerful in God's ways. "The joy of the Lord is your strength," Nehemiah said to God's repentant people of old. Nehemiah 8 verse 10. Clearly that also motivated the people and guided and guarded them in living for God and good. Someone well said, "The oil of joy makes the wheels of obedience move faster," and that nothing so shrivels up self, sinful, selfish self, as joy in Christ. When we have this joy of the Lord in us and with us, it promotes God and godly praise and devotion and service, all as glad and thankful obedience to the Lord and fruitful living to His honor in everything. This is something evident where the fruit of the Spirit is present and growing. Likewise, can we not say it is good for the ungodly when this fruit of joy is much in evidence among God's people? It is good for the people of the world when they see in us this fruit of joy. When unbelievers see Christians glad, it leaves its mark and impact. It can even be a means where people ask, "What do you have that makes you always joyful? Yes, even in those trials of yours." Oh, how wonderful if the fruit of joy in our lives makes others become interested in the Christian gospel as well. It can also be said how good it is for other Christians when you and I have this fruit of the Spirit, joy. It can bring such comfort to others and certainly promote good cheer and encouragement in God's ways. As stated in Proverbs 17:22, "A merry or joyful heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones." How true what one has said, spiritual joys help to make us better, whereas worldly joys do often make us worse. Can you identify with this? And do you believe this too by God's grace? How fruitful, how useful. What a joy and blessing is the fruit of the Spirit, joy. Oh, what is our Christian responsibility when confessing believers, testifying to know and follow Christ, that we also by God's grace have this fruit of the Spirit, joy, and that we seek to promote it in our lives. Even so, let us bring our griefs and struggles also in this matter to God privately and ask for this fruit of the Spirit, joy. Is there not reason to pray every day for such a view of Christ and close fellowship with Him and daily closeness and enjoyment of Him by God's Spirit and Word, that our faces shine with the joy of the Lord in spite of ourselves and regardless our circumstances? Not only is this fruit of joy so all-round good and beneficial, but it is something delightful when you remember too the promise of eternal joy to come. Oh, we read in Psalm 16, verse 11, these wonderful words, giving reason for so much joyful anticipation for the future for all God's true people. Thou, O Lord, wilt show me the path of life. In Thy presence is fullness of joy. At Thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. Can you beat that, I ask you? This fruit of joy, as I have held it out before you, have you seen it grow and grow? Be assured it won't all of a sudden pop in your face like a balloon that gets blown up too much. No, for this is gospel truth, divine, Holy Spirit-breathed gospel truth. The fruit of the Spirit is joy, the best joy you can imagine, an everlasting joy beyond words to express. Dear friends, inasmuch as I'm sure none of you would want to eat rotten fruit, don't settle for anything less than the fruit of the Spirit, joy, or you will never know true and everlasting joy. The fruit of the Spirit is joy. Oh, that we may all, time and again, go on our way rejoicing, joined to Christ and abiding in Him and His Word. Grant this blessing also through this message now, O Spirit of the living God. For Jesus' sake we pray. Amen. Dear friends, this radio broadcast is not meant as a substitute for worshiping in a faithful Bible-believing church. If you are not currently worshiping in such a church, you are most welcome to come to our services. To learn about the Free Reformed Churches in your area, check our website at www.frcna.org. Again, www.frcna.org. If you have been blessed by this message, or you would like a free copy of today's broadcast, you can write to The Banner of Truth, 680 Brook Park Drive, Southwest, Calgary, Alberta, T2W2R1. That's The Banner of Truth, 680 Brook Park Drive, Southwest, Calgary, Alberta, T2W2R1. We are always glad to hear from our listeners. And now, until next week, the Lord be with you all.
For more information about the Banner of Truth and the Free Reformed Churches of North America, visit our website at www.frcna.org. These radio messages are also being posted on the internet and can be downloaded for free. Visit www.sermonaudio.com and search on the Banner of Truth. Please join us again next week for the Banner of Truth broadcast.